This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Ball.
Welcome to Bink at Night.
And welcome to Bink at Night, Jay Binkley. Hope you're having a good Tuesday afternoon. Chris Unocero in with me today, producing the operation. Always good to work with one Chris Unocero. Well, we have Chiefs lost the Titans. I told you I'd turn the page towards the Chargers tonight, and I will. We have the college football playoff ranking special now. Who's in? Who got in? Alabama, where do they go after losing to LSU? We'll find out in just a little bit. We'll bring that to you here as Chris and I already dissecting this before the show, who's going to be placed where. We were marveling at Alabama's recruiting class. Seven players in Matt Miller's mock draft in the first round. And two of them fringe, and Najee Harris and Devontae Smith. So we'll have that for you. At Nick Bromberg, Yahoo Sports, joins at 7:30. We'll talk defense with Craig Stout at 8 o'clock. And I'll tell you this much, Chris. You want to make money? It's called being in the car wash business, man. Because everybody in this town needs to go wash that car. Wow. See what I'm saying? Because it's dirty.
I just a little bit of snow, they get dirty. I don't think this is the time of year you wash your car.
Oh, yeah. You wash this time.
Because it's just going to get dirty again the next time it snows, and you're going to get the salt all over your car. So.
I don't think it's supposed to snow, my man. Not for a while.
Yeah, it wasn't supposed to snow yesterday, and it did. So.
Good point. Yeah, can't trust anybody anymore.
It's Kansas City. I don't trust weather people anymore.
I know, but it gets all over your headlights and everything else, you know?
I mean, you clean that, but I'm not going to waste my $12 to go over to the car wash. And clean my car and then watch it snow a couple days later and salt all over my car again. Just not going to waste my money.
A lot of get to tonight, including the Astros are big cheaters. A lot of people talking about the Houston Astros and their use of digital media. They might get hammered. Video cameras in the outfield banging on the drum. I mean, there's some video proof. Mike Fiers, former pitcher of the Houston Astros, he is snitching. He's snitching to be placed for another team now. Yeah, and so... Snitch. You've got others. They got a bunch of sources. But anyway, Houston Astros, we'll dive into that. Is he a snitch or is he not a snitch?
He is a snitch. We're not debating that. He's a snitch.
Okay.
He's definitely a snitch.
That's fine. I have no love lost for Mike Fiers. I don't really care. I will say this, though, and this is interesting. How serious are the Chargers taking this game versus the Chiefs? You know, several things have happened to the Chargers. They've lost close games. You look at the Chargers, they're like the Chiefs, and they will point to that about the missed opportunities that they've had with the season. They have decided that they are going to Colorado Springs to train. They've already trained there today. It's usually an off day in the NFL. They played on Thursday night, so they're already out in Colorado Springs. Putting it this way, Mexico City, 7,382 feet above sea level, where Patrick Mahomes will be launching the football Monday night. Denver sits about 5,200 feet above sea level. Colorado Springs, a little over 6,000 feet, but it fluctuates because they got Pikes Peak around there from 6,000 to 9,000 to 14,000. So wherever you're at and around Colorado Springs, it's pretty high. But I'll give the Chargers some credit. I'll give them credit for being creative, I suppose, if you get the team to buy in to what you're doing. But this is how serious the Chargers are taking this game. You know, it's not just practicing in Southern California. No, they pack up everybody. It's like training camp again for the Chargers. They're focused. They're together. They're in Colorado Springs. Here's Anthony Lynn, the head coach of the Chargers, practicing in the high altitude to get used to it.
You know, guys flew around. Got some good practice in. Today was a bonus day. That was a good practice. Guys, you know, getting used to this altitude. That's why we're here.
I don't think Anthony's used to it, though. He was breathing hard, man. He was up there talking. And he's breathing hard. Anthony Lynn was asked.
They play there every year.
They do, but they're training. They're higher. It's higher than Denver. Colorado Springs higher than Denver.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
They're getting ready for the Chiefs, man. We're focused on the Chargers tonight. Here's Anthony Lynn, helpful to be in a high altitude.
Well, when you're playing in 7,300, I think you come in practice and I think we're at 7,200. I think it's a little bit of an ease of mind for players. So it has a mental effect, I believe. But also, I think it can be helpful. You know, going from sea level to 73, I didn't feel comfortable doing that. So I think it'd be helpful. I think everybody's different. I know research and science say it takes more days than 7 or 8 days, but, you know, as a player, I've been on that field. I've been in Dallas, Texas, and in Wyoming the very next day, and I felt the effect. So I wanted my players to come and practice in it for a week.
They're actually practicing at the Air Force Academy. The Air Force Academy, been there. What a stadium. We've got the mountains right around. Beautiful, beautiful facility. But 7,258 feet is the Air Force Academy. Again, Mexico City, 7,382 feet. So it's about as close as you can get to that elevation. You're talking about 2,000 feet higher than Denver, Colorado, and everybody talks about it being tough. They don't go out there early to play the Broncos. The Chiefs have had no problems. They beat the Broncos 8 straight times. But there is an elevation difference between Denver and playing in Colorado Springs or Mexico City. But that's actually about as close as they could get to the elevation there, especially in Los Angeles. It's basically sea level. Here's Anthony Lynn. Do you think it'll help you practicing in the high altitude?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, I've experienced it myself. And so I've done all the science, and just from personal experience, a lot of scientists don't play football.
They're looking at science. Scientists don't play football. As Anthony Lynn starts to catch his breath, that's from Chargers.com. Joey Bosa was even meeting the media as well. He was asked about training in high altitude. I don't know if Joey's as excited as everybody else. He sounded kind of sick, actually. Got 8.5 sacks this year. He's having a good year.
Yeah, I think you noticed a difference out there a little bit, breathing. I don't know if a few practices is enough to get acclimated to it, but, you know, we're here, and we'll make the most of it.
He didn't exactly sound enthusiastic. I don't know if a couple practices help or not. This is interesting, because you would think this would be a good exercise for the Chargers. You know, away, they're away from distractions, kind of like training camp. Then Austin Eckler did play Division II football in Colorado, Western Colorado. So he's back home, and he was excited. Like, Austin Eckler, their leading rusher, the Chargers' leading rusher, excited because Gordon, you know, finally came back. But Eckler is a good running back, but he's still less than 4 yards a carry this year. But this is his thoughts, and this is funny. It sounds like some of the guys are for it and some aren't.
I think there's a lot of mixed feelings about us coming here. Me personally, I kind of like the changeup. I'm probably a little biased, obviously, because, you know, I'm from here. So, you know, I was kind of looking forward to being back in Colorado for a week. But I know some people, you know, will disagree with that. They would rather just have, you know, our own facility, get back in our regular routine. But I honestly like it because it just gets us away from everything that's been going on there. Hey, let's pick up and let's move and let's just focus. And let's, because we have, what, 6 games left? 6 games. And so, you know, these are super important because of the position we put ourselves in. And now it's time. Hey, if we, like Coach Lynn said, our playoffs basically start now. You know, there could be, you know, a chance we could lose another game and still make it if we win them all. But just focus. Let's just get 1-0. So I like that we're out here. Just focus on just this game.
You heard he said it twice, Chris. There's one thing you don't do. You just put on a happy face. Everybody loves being out here again.
I think there's a lot of mixed feelings about us coming here.
A lot of mixed feelings about us being there. Well, you are there. So put that smile on your face. And Eckler's happy. He loves being in the elevation. But I was talking to the Chargers, and this is, it kind of reminds you of the Chiefs. Like, they don't lose more than one score. They just don't. The Chargers, you look at their season, lost 3 points at the Lions. The Lions played the Chiefs extremely close. Lost 7 points to the Texans, 7 points to the Broncos. That was a terrible loss for the Chargers. They lose 7 to the Steelers. Remember that game? That was one where Duck Hodges played for the Steelers. Lost to the Titans by 3. Hey, the Chiefs lost to the Titans. They lost to the Raiders by 2. In a game that they've totally dominated the Raiders, they found a way to lose that game. But I thought this was interesting because here's Eckler talking about the missed opportunities here and there, and they can't slip up again. This is their attitude. This is the Chargers' attitude coming into this.
Yeah, we definitely feel like we missed some opportunities when we have. You know, we see we're like 2 games behind right now, and we've had all these close games that, you know, we haven't lost a game but more than 7 points. And it's like 3 here, 3 there. So we see the Chiefs lose, and we're like, dang, if we would have won, we'd have been 1 game behind. So, I mean, definitely don't not look at that. You can't hide from that. Like you said, we have to focus on ourselves, though. We got to get 1 win. You know, we want to go run on 6, but we got to start with 1. So, I don't know. Definitely sucks, for sure.
Definitely sucks. There's the Chargers. That's from the Chargers.com. There's the Chargers mindset. Again, this is a team of nomads. They don't have a home field advantage. They're actually good at playing on the road. They were good at playing on the road last year because they played at Soccer Stadium in Los Angeles. They're moving to SoFi Stadium where the Rams are. It's essentially their, they say it's their own. It's not. They're making it their own. You go to their website. They got a webcam, live webcam of the stadium. But it's not theirs. That's the Rams' place. They're just paying rent. They're living above mom's garage is what they're doing. And there was talk about the Chargers moving to London. They really don't have a home. They should have stayed in San Diego. That's where they should have stayed. But bottom line is, this is how serious that at least Anthony Lynn's taken it. Now, is this a gimmick? Sometimes guys do gimmicky things. Matt Nagy, the Chicago Bears. That's why I picked against them in Survivor League 2 weeks ago against Philly. You know, he's comparing the Nats comeback story in PowerPoint presentation to the Bears. I'm sorry, but anytime you're Tony Pena showering or you're Romeo Cannell putting up let's play good football, eliminate bad football signs. But is this a gimmick or not? I actually don't think it's a gimmick. I actually think it's a pretty smart idea to be practiced at an elevation. Get the players used to it. But you heard Bosa there. He's not sure that just a couple days there. I think they're there for like 4 days, if that's enough. Again, they did have to transplant. That's kind of a pain in the ass. When they get their family, friends, girlfriends, whatever, you know, in L.A. And then they got to pack up and move to Colorado Springs. So there's points and counterpoints. It is good that they can be together. They can hang out, the bond, the chemistry, that whole thing. So I guess that part can be good. But then if players don't want to be there, just like Eckler said, Austin Eckler, he's like, well, some guys want to do this, some guys don't. So I don't know. To me, halfway decent idea. If I was Reed, I'd have the old altitude mask. You've seen those at the gym?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody goes to the gym. Yeah, you've seen those. People have these masks on their face.
They look like Bane from Batman.
Yeah, look like Bane's running around your gym. Yeah. You're like, what are you doing, man? It's altitude. It's an altitude mask. See, it's like you're training at a higher elevation. Kansas City is less than 1,000 feet above sea level, so you get that push. I don't know if you could simulate Mexico City, though.
You could, because they can restrict your breathing pretty. They can restrict the oxygen flow really well.
Well, they're about as close as they can get to it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're over 7,000 feet in Colorado Springs. They're taking this game seriously, man.
I think they're overthinking it. Because all that travel that you're doing, I think, might tire some of the guys out. Because we already know, like, the biggest advantage of playing at home is the fact that your opponent has to travel in and sleep in that uncomfortable, well, sometimes it is comfortable, hotel bed. And then you have to go through the motions of not playing in a place that you're really comfortable at. And so now you have these guys traveling essentially throughout an entire week because you got to fly out to Colorado. Then you're going to fly down to Mexico City. And so and we obviously know that some of these players are not really kind of on board with doing all this traveling the week leading up to your game in Mexico City. I think some of these guys are going to be tired out, and I don't think it's a great idea to go out and do all of that.
There we go, Chris. It's been released. LSU 1, Ohio State 2, Georgia slips in at 4.
They don't deserve it.
Alabama on the outside looking in. Again, if you're an Alabama fan, you're rooting for LSU to run the table because they're still getting in. I told you, they're going. If they go to the SEC title game, which they will because they got Ole Miss on the road, they got Arkansas and A&M at home, put them in the title game. But they've beaten 4 top 10 opponents. We'll get to that more college football later, but I get real excited about this college football selection show. And by the way, text line, Protein House, Eat with the Purpose, text line 69306. Actually telling us to wash our car more often in the winter to get that salt off. I always do. Chris is the curmudgeon
I'm
not
sitting here washing it.
Get the salt off, my man. Get the salt off your car.
I'm washing it every time it snows. It's not going to happen.
Coming up next, Chiefs need for leadership. I was on with Show and Vern today. Show and I went back and forth about the Chiefs' defense, and there's one key thing about this defense that definitely is needed, and that's called leadership. We'll talk that next. Bink at Night. Welcome back to Bink at Night. Jay Bink and Kristen Osero producing the operation from the Protein House Eat with the Purpose text line 69306. It does make a huge difference to get used to altitude. Well, Anthony Lynn, head coach of the Chargers, thinks so. He moved the team this week to practice at the Air Force Academy to get used to Mexico City. So they're preparing to be in Colorado Springs. Unless for some reason Shakira comes and sings again in Mexico City, tears up the field, and they have to move the game again to Los Angeles. Now, that would be funny.
I'm all for Shakira being at – that
would be funny. That would be funny if they prepared for this thing. But they wouldn't care anyway because they move around anyway. They don't have a home. They don't care.
Yeah.
Like the Chargers.
They're always playing road games wherever they go.
That's who they are. If you missed it, the college football playoff rankings out for week number 2. They do these on Tuesday night, the final one on a Sunday, December 8th. LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, and Georgia. So I said Clemson, no reason to complain. Tua's playing three. LSU's playing Bama. Ohio State was playing Penn State. That game was going to matter more than it does as they play the 23rd. Penn State chokes to Minnesota. Minnesota 17th last week. They bumped themselves all the way to 8th in the college football playoff rankings. Oklahoma slides down. They were 9th. They slide to 10 as far as the Big 12 is concerned. Baylor from the Big 12 coming in at 13th. And Kansas State, after losing to Texas, they slide to 24th in the college
football. They're still ranked?
In the college football playoff rankings.
What?
Yep. In the college football playoff rankings, they are ranked.
What?
There's a lot of teams like that. I mean, they were 16th in the college football playoff rankings last week. They beat a top five team. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't trust Kansas State. I don't trust Skylar Thompson.
I do. We'll get to that.
I just don't trust them.
I do. I like Oklahoma State, by the way, 22nd. That's who Kansas plays this weekend. I want to talk about attitude with the Kansas City Chiefs and leadership, and talked a little bit about it yesterday. The offense is fine. You got Patrick Mahomes. He's leadership. You got leadership on the coaching staff. That's clearly Andy Reid. But what this team is missing is that push. And I thought they had it. And I think they do have it. But people need to start listening to him. And it's weird because you have Frank Clark that comes in here in the offseason. You know, and he's talking about this team being soft. Here's James Palmer on NFL Network. Brought up his quote yesterday. But here's James Palmer from NFL Network about talking to Frank Clark after that game, where he called the defense soft on the final drive.
Yeah, he was very honest speaking to me at his locker, Andrew, and he told me, especially on that final drive where you saw Ryan Tannehill go 64 yards in just four plays to throw the game-winning touchdown to Adam Humphries, he said, in his mind, they came out soft on that final drive. He also told me that he believed the Titans came out more aggressive than the Chiefs' defense on that final drive. And he added, you know, 99% of the time, if Patrick Mahomes has the football under 2 minutes to go and you have the lead, you're going to win that game. He said, this was not one of those times. Obviously, they weren't able to get a first down offensively. He said, we couldn't stop them defensively, and they had the issues on special teams. The main point of it is they give up 225 yards on the ground. They thought they maybe turned a corner the way they played against the Vikings and Dalvin Cook last week. They didn't do that. They gave up 22 points in the second half. And Frank Clark told me, when you give up that many yards on the ground, you're either A, going to lose the game, or B, it's going to be really close, and you're going to have to fight tooth and nail to win the game. And they weren't able to do that. And now their issues, once again, on finding ways to stop the run are going to be what they're doing as they go into their next game.
I mean, that is dangerous when you call your teammates that, especially when you've not been 100%. And you say you're playing timid. And the fact that you use the word timid, that you've been playing timid, and you call your teammates out. No, you don't do that. It's one thing you don't do. It's Bart Scott on First Things First. Bart Scott's on CBS. He's with Nick right there on First Things First on FS1. He calls them soft as well.
Their defense is soft, and I told you that it was going to struggle against a team like the Titans that's built with physicality. And when you look down at Derrick Henry, 23 attempts for 188 yards. I saw guys on that defense making business decisions. They didn't want to get on the train tracks when the train was coming through, and that's a problem because you got to be willing to jump on a grenade, and if you get ran over, you get ran over. We used to see this a lot of times with Brandon Jacobs. Guys are real hyped up to hit you in the first quarter, but when those body blows take place and late in games, they wear down. Those angles on it and putting that arm out and being able to put yourself in harm's way, you don't volunteer for that. So you look at that last drive, they were still staying within the game plan and running the football because they knew that was the best way to get explosive plays, and that's disrespectful to a defense.
It was disrespectful. And that's what I was trying to tell, you know, Ron today. We were arguing back and forth. Ryan Tannehill went on 3rd and 10, went through three defenders and picked up the first down. Ryan Tannehill won the game. Ryan Tannehill was a backup quarterback. Derrick Henry's one thing. Ryan Tannehill is another. He beat you. When the Packers beat you, it wasn't Aaron Rodgers. It was their running game to consistently beat them. But the word soft thrown around, and this is their own player, and Frank Clark calling him soft. I mean, you just don't want that. Here's Terrez Paylor, who was on the drive earlier today. He said he wouldn't necessarily call him soft.
Frank Clark calls him soft. I'm sure he's not the only one who feels that way. I get why he'd say it. But I also think, like, if you say that they're soft, that there's an implication that that's not going to get better, or that that can't be fixed, and that they can't, that they're incapable of stopping the run. Last month, they were pretty good up until then. So not sure if I'd go that far. But in spurts, you know, at certain moments. Like, there was a lot of things that are on tape that were unacceptable yesterday on Sunday.
None of it was acceptable. And try to define it and say, well, we got to score more points. You scored over 30. You're fine. You're fine. It was fine. 22 minutes is what the Titans had the ball. They ended up scoring 28 on offense. They got that defensive touchdown. I get it. But here's the head coach of the Titans, Mike Vrabel, Titans.com. After the game, we just kept running at him. I mean, this is the definition of soft, where you need leadership to start stepping up.
But when we were able to do that today, he ran physical. He ran hard. It was not easy early, like a lot of games. And our ability to stick with it there in the second half, I think, really made the difference when we were able to pound out 10 and 12-yard runs. And then ultimately watching them guys, you know, leave the game or be on a knee or be tired or banged up, you know, walk in the end zone.
That's the worst indictment. When another coach says, when you're leaving the game, guys are on a knee, guys are tired. Like, we just walked in the end zone. That's an indictment. I mean, that is bulletin board material that they should grasp, take some pride, and come out there and be a different defense. The tide started to change in the Chiefs' defense. It changed for about three games. It changed completely. I remember talking to the Honey Badger, Pete Sweeney, right after he signed with the Chiefs. And this was what he told Pete and I about his conversation with Pat Mahomes.
I spoke with Pat. I spoke with Pat over the phone. He's probably been the guy I've been speaking to the most. And, you know, his whole thing is, you know, I got offense. I just need a guy to come in and really lead the defense in the right way. And that'll be my job. That'll be my task amongst a bunch of other things. But I think ultimately it's really coming and giving this team a defense a sense of who we are.
And I like that. I think Kenny Budger can be a leader. You know, he can't do it all himself. They have to buy into what he's doing. You know, Frank Clark and the Honey Badger were brought here to be this. And then Frank Clark got the big money, and he's, you know, calling some of the defense soft. You know, Chris Jones didn't play soft. Chris Jones had 2 sacks and 7 tackles. You know, all the linebackers combined had a combined 8 tackles in the game. Chris Jones, defensive lineman, 7 tackles in that game. But it's never good when people are calling you that. And I think they need to get that identity. They need a Mahomes. They never have a Mahomes type of MVP type player on the defense. At least at this point, they don't have that guy. But who's the J.J. Watt? You know, who's going to be that guy on defense? You know, I felt Derek Johnson was a leader of this team. You've got to have leaderships on both sides of the ball. I remember sitting down for that barbecue and football podcast with Bill Moss. And they were talking about the Chiefs when they wanted to get rid of Frank Gaines, head coach. They got in a meeting, players-only meeting. And they had called Bill. Bill wasn't there, but they called him. And the guy leading the meeting was Nick Lowry. And I looked at Bill and I said, well, that's your problem. That's why the Chiefs were so bad for so long in the 80s. Your kicker was your leader. You can't allow your kicker to be your leader. But they need to listen to the Honey Badger and see what's going on, because the book is out on the Kansas City Chiefs. Heck, the Titans timed the snap count to block the game-winning or the game-tying field goal of the Kansas City Chiefs. Charles Davis was on with Clay Travis today and outkicked the coverage. He said the formula is there to beat the Chiefs.
Two things, Clay. One, for whatever reason, the Titans are the Chiefs' kryptonite. I mean, regular season suck-up kicks that field goal a few years ago. Postseason, the miracle play with Mariota, and then Derrick Henry was a beast. And fast forward to this one. I joked with my crew on our way to the airport as we were looking over, you know, scores and seeing stats, and one of my teammates said, Henry almost ran for 200 in this game. Well, I had I had talked with people prior to, and I said, look, if you're the Titans and you don't follow what you are and who you are and who you profess to be in this one, I don't know what to do with you. Meaning, Kansas City doesn't stop the run. Tennessee supposedly built to run the football. The new offense coordinator, Arthur Smith, if Vrabel's not in his office saying, look, as long as score dictates it, I want 22 carrying the football. That's our formula. And sure enough, that was their formula. Because the joke I had in the car was, hey, I know that the Vikings are going to play the Cowboys tonight. Right now, Mike Zimmer's running off this stat sheet and slamming it on the desk of Kevin Stefanski's offensive coordinator and saying, where was this on Sunday when we played them? Because that's the formula.
And there's a lot of blame to go around. But don't put it on this offense. And I get it. They had way too many field goal attempts. And I disagreed with Andy Reid going for a field goal when it was 4th and 2. And they were at the Tennessee 12. They could have gone up 14-0 at that point instead of 10-0. I thought it'd be important. You know, assert your dominance. have the offense that's your best unit, go out there, win the game, take away the running game for the Titans. I mean, you can't do it right away at 14-0. They're still going to run on you. They still ran on the Chiefs to come back in the game, which is embarrassing. They didn't even try to throw Tannehill for a while. It's just Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry, 6'3", 247 pounds, who looked like the best running back in the NFL, albeit he wasn't the best running back coming in. 3.9 yards a carry he was averaging this year. He just got the Chiefs' number. And he's tough to bring down. I'll give him that. But you heard Bart Scott. He's like, guy's making business decisions. Do you want to get in front of the train on the tracks? Derrick Henry will run you over.
I'm not sure. Like, here's the thing, and Charles talked about how, you know, the Mike Zimmer's going to be mad at his OC. Derrick Henry carried the ball 23 times, right?
Yep.
Dalvin Cook carried it 21 times. Do you think those two carries would have made a difference there?
No, when he was good in the screen game. He was good in the screen game.
Like, here's to me.
Chiefs were playing well that day. They were tackling and wrapping up and doing things.
And here's to me the reason why is because the defense knew they had to be good. I don't think it's a soft thing, and I don't think it's a leadership thing. I think it's a matter of this team understanding that when Mahomes is out there running the offense, they're like, we can afford to make mistakes because we got 15 on the other side of the ball, and he can make sure that he covers our ass when we mess up. But in the instance of what happened when they played the Vikings, they knew that they had to play great in order to make something happen. And part of that is definitely on the mindset of the defense needing to change, because those guys need to stop taking Pat for granted, because you just can't. I think part of it is also the play calling.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that you notice is that whenever the Chiefs are very aggressive, rushing the passer, run blitzing, they're generally pretty good at stopping those things. But when they start dropping back and just sending maybe four guys or three guys and they start getting conservative, that's when teams start being able to move the ball on.
Yeah.
And so, like, the aggressiveness to me is a big, big problem. Because, like, if you set the tone with your play calling, if you're Spags, that you want these guys to be aggressive and go after the running back, go after their quarterback, you are instilling in their mind that they need to be aggressive all the time. But when you're saying, we'll be passive and we'll just play not to lose, well, then you start instilling that mindset in those players every single time they play. And so, to me, it just kind of feels like they're playing not to lose on the defensive end when they need to be aggressive.
Well, I've been saying this for weeks, if they've thought last month. They rely way too much on Pat Mahomes to bail them out.
Yeah, yeah.
And it showed the defense stepped up. And what bothered me is Okafor after the Broncos game saying, you know, we need to step up. We need to step up without Pat. Well, you need to step up with Pat.
Yeah.
You need to become a complete football team. And, you know, I believe they need to run the ball, too. Text line here, they need to run the football. I'm 100% with you. They need to learn to run the
right. I just don't think with this personnel you can run it.
No, not with what they have. But Damian Williams, your featured back, and most he's ever had is 50 carries in a season.
Exactly.
But it's a physical mindset. It's getting physical and punch him in the mouth. This texter couldn't be further from the truth, from the 660. Again, always blaming the defense. How about the fact this damn offense either scores in a big chunk or three and out? They can't go on drives and have the defense can't do too much if they're on the field all the time. See, that doesn't make sense. Go back and look at the stats. The Titans had the ball for 22 minutes. The Chiefs had it for 38 minutes. The Chiefs had the ball for a full quarter longer than the Tennessee Titans. The defense should have been rested. You don't need Mike Vrabel, the opponent's head coach, saying you're taking a knee and trying to get your breath and you're walking in the end zone. That's embarrassing. Titans had the ball a quarter less than the Chiefs.
They were barely on the field the first half.
They scored over a point a minute.
They were barely
and they were
on the field.
Firing,
if not for that fumble, the Chiefs would have had a touchdown lead.
So give me a break about the defense always on the field. How about making a damn stop? How about the Andy Reid trusting the defense in the Packers game? 5 minutes left in the damn game. Ball at the 1 yard line. Backed up to your end zone. Run, run, run. Timeout. Run, run, timeout. Run, run, pass. Aaron Rodgers, one pass. Wins the game. It's called physicality.
Yeah, it's called being aggressive. And I think that Spags needs to set the tone with his play calling, because whenever he gets conservative and he drops three, he drops seven and eight guys into coverage, they always seem to give up first downs on third and long.
Man.
They need to get more aggressive.
They need some toughness, man.
And that's on coaching. That is on Spags.
100%.
And him putting those guys in a position where they know that they have to be aggressive 24/7.
Maybe they should be on Colorado, too.
I don't think that's going to work. You're going to tire the team out, and they're going to be sleepy, and they're going to be exhausted from all that work they just did.
Now. If you're wondering what I'm saying about Colorado, that's where the Chargers are. They're practicing in Colorado Springs at the Air Force Academy. To get used to the elevation in Mexico City, it's about as close as they could get. To be honest with you, it's a perfect place to be practicing for the Chargers. Coming up next, Danan Hughes was on Fesco this morning, as he is each and every Tuesday at 7:30. Bring you Danan. What's he saying about the Chiefs? How does he view the defense? That's next.
Bing at night. Therese Paylor, Tuesdays at 3:30 with The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Texline wants to keep scoring points, man. They want to put all that pressure on Mahomes as well. Just keep doing it. Keep scoring it.
I mean, I'd like for Mahomes to go out there and score as many points as he possibly can, but at some point, your defense needs to just step up and do the damn job.
Texter, here's how bad it is. They give up 94 yards rushing in the second half. That's the first team to do that in 25 years. 2.5 decades, okay? It's not good. It's not good at all. Danan Hughes is on Fesco in the morning. Check out the full interview on demand, 610sports.com. Then I'll get to your phone calls. This is Danan. But new coaches, new players, why are we seeing the same results?
You know, I thought we were over the hump. And I, you know what? I'm one of those guys that there are some times that you blame the coaches and sometimes you blame the players. I'll go back to the Green Bay game. To me, that was a flawed game plan to have linebackers out wide against a versatile, one of the more versatile dual threat running backs in the league and Aaron Jones, and guarding them one-on-one with the entire field behind them. That's a flawed game plan. I'm going to put that on the coaches. This game is a little bit of a blend because I thought at times, you know, like we always talk about, you get haymakers thrown, you get hooks thrown at you, and then at some point you got to back out of the corner and you got to decide to go fight. I thought Chris Jones, for the most part, he was out there fighting. Our linebackers, I'm not too sure about. But at the same time, I thought it was a flaw. I thought they were not really totally prepared for that final drive. To see the defense in man-to-man coverage with a two-deep safety, no one underneath, I thought that was not a good game plan. I thought they got caught off guard, and just like we used to see with Gunther Cunningham, rest in peace, it was like, oh, my gosh, hurry up, let's blitz and play man-to-man. It was like, you know, that was the default. And I thought they should have played zone, no timeouts for the Titans, keep everything in front of you. And if they drive three-quarters of the field, if they drive to the 10-yard line and the clock runs out, we still win the game. So I'm going to blame that defensive effort both on the players, but the effort wasn't fully there. But I also thought that the coaches didn't really put them in a great position at the end.
I agree with him. They definitely didn't on the snap count. With that, let's go to the phone lines, 913-576-7610. Let's go to Reggie in Anaheim. What's up, Reg?
Hey, man, I thought Dana, man, he capitalized, to me, the biggest frustration with this team. And most of it is coming from the defensive standpoint. I've heard on several shows, like Fesco says, you know, the offense has to be special every night. Well, guess what? Not even Jordan hit 40 points tonight or 35 points tonight. You know what I'm saying? Like, to expect superhuman from your offense week in and week out is just not fair. But it was the fact of, after 3 weeks, we all assumed, rightly so, that they turned the corner. And they did turn a corner. They turned a corner right back into a trash dump. That's the demoralizing part as a fan for me, is that, like, okay, you're trending towards the right way, and then you go out and you lay an egg against Ryan Tannehill, half a receiver, and Derrick Henry. You know, like, that's the part that's the most frustrating. And moving forward, bro, like, I don't have any, like I said before, I don't have expectations, man. Like, they need to go 3-0 over these next three games. I'm sure that they'll probably beat the Chargers, and I'm sure they'll show up against the Raiders, and they'll get up to play the Patriots. But, I mean, they have to really go a long way now to gain back the trust of the fan base, because it's like, after 3 weeks, you think they're doing good, and then they turn back into the same old Chiefs. And this is even with a new coordinator, new players, new coaches. So it has to be a mentality thing. And to me, it's Andy Reid, bro. Like, Andy Reid doesn't have that he's not instilling that tough mentality on the defense. And it's been that way since he's gotten here. So I'll take my thoughts off to here, man.
Thanks. You know, and Steph Doles is rolled downhill. I always thought the Chiefs had that in them to be nasty, be a little mean. I thought the Vikings game, they showed that physicality. They can do it. They got the players to do it. I mean, this offense will scare the hell out of opponents. And I think the Chiefs are just fine. You know, they're sitting there with four losses. That's the thing about the Chiefs. They can beat anybody. And it takes somebody's A game to actually beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Colts had to play a flawless game to beat the Chiefs. Texans, flawless game to beat the Chiefs. Titans had things going their way, like time a snap count. Tannehill to pick up that first down. It takes a lot to beat this team. I'll give them that. They don't get blown out. Pat Mahomes is always within a score. Always. Of the opponent. He's never been further than a score when he takes an L. They've all been close games. Austin Eckler can talk about how tough it is and how they've had close losses. That's the Chiefs. Look at last year. Only the Seahawks, 7 points, the biggest thing. The Chiefs are staying close to you, and they provide fits. This offense provides fits. Now, I'd lick my chops if I was an offensive coordinator going against the Chiefs defense. I'd be real excited about that. Facing this offense? No way. Pat Mahomes will eat you for lunch. You know, Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman. You know, good luck if they're in space catching because you can't do it. That's why this team, I mean, you look at this division. You know, the Chiefs still have a chance. There's other teams out there. They're fearful of playing the Chiefs. They're scared of it. Do you really want to face this team? And if Tyreek Hill go off or Mecole Hardman go off or, you know, Sammy Watkins have a big game or Travis Kelce, you know, get in the groove. Pat Mahomes lighting up the scoreboard again. They know they can do it, and they know he can do it. And it's fearful. I'm sure the Patriots don't want to face the Chiefs because they know what it's going to be like. They faced them twice last year and took everything they had. Chiefs come back and score 30 points in that second half. Chiefs gave Bill Belichick and the Patriots everything they could stomach. Let's go to Brett in Nashville. What's up, Brett?
What's going on, guys? You know, I was at the game this Sunday, and since the schedule came out, I was excited to get to see my Chiefs play, you know, in my hometown. And, of course, all my buddies here are Titans fans. And so I was a lone Chiefs fan at the game. And I guess it was like a minute and a half left in the game and all this started to turn. And I tell you what, I can't remember if we got that stop or when it was. But I was already taking pictures with my dad and my fiance. I'm getting married this weekend, so
congratulations.
It was nice to be able to like see the Chiefs come to Nashville and me be able to watch them, and then, you know, for that last minute and a half, it was just it was beyond embarrassing leaving that stadium.
Oh, I'm sure it was, because there was more Chiefs fans. I got to tell you this, Brett. I got to tell you this, bro. Don't get married in football season. I know you've already planned it, but come on, man, you got to do better than that.
I know. I got to blame the fiance on that.
All right. Some things are out of your control, my man. I get it. Call anytime you want to. Brett Nashville. Yeah. Your friends ain't going to be real happy.
He's just got to put his foot down and say no. Wait until the spring.
When your friends have to leave college football, and trust me, in Nashville, big college football fans down there.
Oh, yeah.
So, do you really want to jam up your friends like that? You better have an open bar, Brett.
You better have some TVs.
Yeah, you know your friends are going to be sitting there with their smartphones or watching. You have some TVs in the bar.
Yeah.
You'll sit there and watch the game. But, yeah, I'm just saying, man. I've been there. You know, I get invited to weddings during football season. It's a joke. They don't get a good gift either, like toast or something. Man, I'm not kidding.
I'm not a gift bringer for weddings. No. I just bring my presents. That's it.
Ask Vern what I got him for his wedding, and I went to it.
What'd you get?
A whole lot of nothing. We come back.
How you doing?
I get the one thing about Dana Hughes. What about Pat Mahomes? What's Dana say about him? And also Joey Bosa with some incredible comments about Pat Mahomes. We'll play those next.
Bing at night. Listening on the radio.com app. Make sure to favorite 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Bing at night. Plenty to get to. Astros are cheaters. Cheater, cheater, cheaters. Give Dodgers the championship. Just kidding, Astros. Everybody does it. You just got caught this time. Nick Bromberg, YahooSports.com, college football at 7:30, talking about the latest rankings that just came out tonight. Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, and Georgia, the top four in the playoffs at this point. I was talking about Patrick Mahomes. I thought this was really interesting of Joey Bosa. This is almost like saying, We can't stop him. We just hope to contain him. Here was Joey Bosa, because, again, they're practicing in Colorado Springs. Joey Bosa from Colorado Springs about trying to limit Patrick Mahomes from Chargers.com.
You just have to try to keep him in the pocket, the pass rush. I mean, even when there's good pass rush, he seems to make something happen. He's obviously going to make – I mean, what did he have the other day? Almost 400 yards, but they still ended up losing. They managed Tennessee did a good enough job to, you know, score some points and finish the game. So it might be a tough ask to limit him too much because, you know, obviously he's such a great player, but just to try to keep him in the pocket and affect him with that pass rush.
Tough ask to limit him. Even when you do get there, he makes crazy things happen. And, you know, he's talking about that. You know, you get back there and you don't know what's going to happen. Who was it? The Chiefs are playing somebody.
Earl Thomas.
Maybe it's Mike Zimmer. I can't remember who it was. And they were talking about Mahomes. No, it was.
You're thinking of.
It was Denver.
Fangio.
Yeah, Fangio. Yeah. And he said that with Mahomes, there's two plays, the one they call and the one Mahomes.
Yeah, the one that he makes. Yeah.
Which makes it so tough. You know, Wink Martindale, the defensive coordinator of the Ravens last year, said he turns everything into a backyard football game. You know, he just turns it in to a backyard football game. Now, Dana Hughes was on Fesco in the morning this morning, and he was asked, does Andy Reid need to pay a little more attention to the defense? And to be honest with you, I think he was influential in what happened in Denver. And maybe he got hands-off approach at Tennessee. Maybe hands-on is what's needed again. Here's Dana.
I don't think he needs to pay more attention to the defense on game day. I wonder how much time he is putting with the defense during the week. And I have to believe that he's a part of that because, to me, Andy Reid doesn't get this successful by just being one-dimensional during the week, during the preparation. I mean, I played with great coaches, and to me, the greatest coaches know how to coach their coaches to coach their players. And they don't have to be involved in every aspect of the game. So I wonder if there'll be a little bit more attention to detail during the week by Andy Reid. But to me, he's gone his whole Hall of Fame resume career by being an offensive-minded head coach and trusting his defensive coaches. So I'm going to lean on that over just a knee-jerk reaction to bad play. But I do think they probably heard an earful from him in regards to that approach in those final drives. Because let's face it, if you're an offensive-minded coach, you see the holes in defenses. That's what you're preparing to do every single week. So you obviously see the holes in your defense. So I'm sure Andy Reid probably had a lot to say to Coach Spags and that defensive staff about that approach in the final second.
I'm sure it drives Andy Reid nuts watching the game film. Now, I'm with Dana. Like, during the week, he knows, just like Dana said, he knows more about defenses than anybody else. I guarantee he probably knows more about defense than Steve Spagnuolo. And you say, wait a minute, Steve Spagnuolo has won a ring, you know, as a defensive coordinator. Well, Andy Reid schemes to beat defenses every week. He knows what teams' weaknesses are, and he exposes them. A lot of the times he'll find out what coverage they're in, what he can run. He schemes every week to beat defenses. Surely he can look at his own defense in practice or in game film going, ah, I would tear this thing up. Could you imagine what Mahomes would do to this defense?
6 touchdowns.
I mean, LeSean McCoy, Damien Williams, Darrell Williams, have a feast. Like, they would love to play this defense.
6 touchdowns. Yeah.
Oh. But anyway, that's interesting. And then there's the whole incident about LeSean McCoy. You know, he only had 6 carries last week, and he tweeted out Saturday, right, in his business, and he said business. He doesn't tweet that out if he thinks he's playing. This whole load management thing, this is what Dana Hughes said about load management. Unbelievable.
I don't believe the load management stuff. I will tell you that. I mean, I think that trust is a big factor in the game of football. And I have to trust. There's not much worse than questioning whether I should give you the ball or questioning that if I give you the ball, there's a possibility that you can fumble or turn it over. And that doesn't mean that they lost total trust in him, but I think they needed to explore the other running backs and you know, maybe give him a break just so that trust can maybe build back up. And then you go out, and Damien Williams fumbles as well. So yeah. Maybe that might be the thing that link that'll get LeSean back into this offense is that, hey, fumbling happens. It just happens. But I think there's a little bit of trust that was lost that that garnered that decision.
I hope not. Let him play. Let him play. Use it up. They need wins right now. There's no wiggle room right now. Got to play. Got to play your best players. And if the reason is we want to see more of Darwin Thompson, then why did we see more of Darwin Thompson? They could have used LeSean McCoy in that game, in my opinion.
I don't think LeSean would have made much of a difference.
Third and two, where you throwing Blake Bell? You're going to get McCoy. You're sneaking out of the backfield. I mean,
I think he's a crafty
runner at times. You know, he can pick up a couple yards.
He is averaging
over 5 yards a carry. I mean, there's reasons to like LeSean McCoy.
I don't trust him. I wasn't bothered at all by the healthy scratch.
And Andy Reid will run the ball, despite popular opinion. Kareem Hunt won a rushing title with Andy Reid.
Yeah.
It does happen.
He just doesn't have a Kareem Hunt on his team.
LeSean McCoy, 5.2 yards per carry again.
Yeah,
small sample size, only carried 72 times.
If he had a feature back's worth of touches, he wouldn't be averaging 5.2 yards per carry.
But he's got 72 attempts on the season. Damien Williams, 3.8 yards a carry on 79 attempts.
Yeah. No, he would not be averaging, if he had a feature back's worth of carries, he would not be averaging.
And this is a career high by 29 attempts by Damien Williams. His previous high was 50.
Yeah.
Last season with the Chiefs, this is already a career high for Damien Williams.
Neither of them are feature back.
No.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. Coming up next, Terrez Paylor said some things to chew on, because here's the thing. Let's turn the page a little bit. There are reasons of optimism for the Kansas City Chiefs. Not all is lost. Matter of fact, a lot can be gained. We discuss that next.
Being at night.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.